Man, well, thank you, students. Man, it's so good to be with y'all today. Y'all doing all right? Well, it's good to see you. Take your Bibles, find Acts chapter 1, or find that on, if you're looking online, your phone or something like that, Acts chapter 1. We're going to be in that for a few moments today. I appreciate the opportunity to share God's word with you. It's good to be with you. So good to see you all today here at church, and just thankful for what the Lord is doing through our Parkway family. So appreciate the leadership here and our pastoral staff. Aren't you just blessed? We were talking in between services, a couple of us. Aren't you just so thankful for our pastoral team and the folks that minister among us? Can you just rejoice and give God thanks? I know I am. I know I am, and I'm sure you are also. And just thankful for Pastor Derek in particular as he's now over serving in the preschool. I'm tempted to preach for about 90 minutes. Just let him get a good dose of it. But anyway, I tell you what we'll do. How about this, Miss Melissa? How about this? What we'll do is I'll wrap this up in about 10 minutes, and we'll all just go down to Starbucks or McDonald's or something, and we'll just let him sit over here. And just, no, that'd be rough, wouldn't it? No. But I tell you, that's his heart, and I'm just so thankful. He has such a contagious heart for people. And of course, I know you all have been preaching through the Gospel of Luke for the past 4 or 5 years now, and having a good time with that. But no, seriously, I was telling the first service, because he was talking about in the Gospel of Luke. And that's why we're going to look at Acts chapter 1. In the Gospel of Luke, you know, if you do it right, you have to take about 40 plus weeks to really do it. And I want to encourage you to do something. If you haven't really done this, go back and you just read through the Gospel of Luke. And you just pay really close attention. Pay really close attention to how the Lord Jesus prays, his relationship with God the Father, how he leans upon the Spirit. The Gospel of Luke is a phenomenal book of the Bible to study. And as you all have been walking through it, Pastor's given it the theme and the title, God's Mission Has a Prayer. Now, of course, last week, Luke 24, you have the culmination there, right, with the resurrection of Christ. But then what you have right there at the end of Luke 24 is you have somewhat of a cliffhanger. You kind of have kind of this to be continued, if you will, whereas Luke 24 ends with this idea. Look at this. This is what God's word. Just listen to it because you're probably at Acts chapter 1 now, and you're going to see the parallel. Here's what the Bible says at the end of Luke 24, and it kind of bridges to Acts chapter 1. Luke wrote, "Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures, and he said to them, 'Thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance for the forgiveness of sins would be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem.'" And then he says, "You are witnesses of these things." You're going to see this again in Acts chapter 1. And then he says, "I'm sending the promise of my Father upon you. But stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high." And then the Bible says that he led them out as far as Bethany, and lifting up his hands, he blessed them. And while he blessed them, the end of the Gospel of Luke tells us what Acts chapter 1 shows us, that Jesus then departed. He has his ascension, and he goes to heaven. What you have there in the Gospel of Luke, it's as if you have this tremendous to-be-continued story. Now, a lot of folks around the community right now, really across not just America but around the world, are all talking about a movie that hit the theaters this past week. You'll probably never heard of it. It's called Avengers, right? And tell you why there's so much hype is because of where they left us at the end of the last movie. They left you with that cliffhanger wondering how this was all going to end up turning out. It's this tremendous to-be-continued story. And what Hollywood understands is they know the power of a sequel. They understand that. And sometimes they don't always get it right. Like, for instance, when they tried to do a sequel to the classic Honey, I Shrunk the Kids, and they did Honey, I Blew Up the Kid. You know, that just kind of fell flat, all right? I don't totally understand Star Wars, the Phantom Menace or something like that, the first one. I don't know why that really fit in. I don't know if that really worked or not. But I tell you, there's a lot of hype about this Avengers Endgame movie. They're saying that it could end up bringing in $1 billion worldwide. And I'm telling you why. It's because we want to know the rest of the story. And what you have in the book of Acts, chapter 1, is where Luke leaves off at the end of the Gospel of Luke, chapter 24, is he tells us how this continues. And it's not just for them. It's for us too. So stand with me in honor of God's word. I want you to see how the story continues. The Bible says in Acts chapter 1, verse 1, in the first book, that's what book? The Gospel of Luke. O Theophilus, I have dealt with all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day when he was taken up, after he had given commands through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. Remember that in your study of the Gospel of Luke, how the Lord Jesus chose his disciples, how he appointed them. And then look at verse 3. He then says this, he presented himself alive to them after his suffering. His suffering is what he did for us on the cross by many proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. And while staying with them, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father. See that there again? Which he said, you heard from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel? He said to them, it's not for you to know the times or the seasons that the Father's fixed by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses. Say witnesses. Witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. And when he had said these things, as they were looking on, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. And while they were gazing into heaven as he went, behold, two men stood by them in white robes and said, men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus, who was taken up from you into heaven, will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Lord, thank you that you show us how your work continues from the Gospel of Luke on into the record we have in the book of Acts. And Lord, I pray today that you will show us, your church, your followers, what it means for your work to continue in and through us in the power of the Holy Spirit. Lord, I pray that the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart will be pleasing in your sight. Oh, Lord God, you are my rock and my redeemer. Lord, thank you for this church. Lord, thank you for our pastor, his family, and our pastoral team and their families, the leadership, and all the partners that form together, Lord, this church that you've called. God, I just thank you for their partnership in the gospel with Southern Baptists across Virginia, this country, and worldwide. Lord, may we today see your reminder to us, your lesson to us, of how your work is to be continued. In Christ's name we pray, amen. God bless you. Be seated. Let me give you just some introduction to how this continues. First of all, what you see here is that Luke's message continues. Luke's message continues. I mean, he starts it off here in the book of Acts with that similar reminder of what you find there at the beginning of the Gospel of Luke. He's writing to this man named Theophilus. Now, we find in the book of Acts, chapter 24, verse 2, and chapter 26, verse 25, that it appears that Theophilus was likely a Roman official. Perhaps he was a personal friend of Luke's, and Luke wrote the Gospel of Luke, and then he writes the record we have of the early church in the book of Acts, and he wants to share this with Theophilus. Maybe he's being a personal witness to his friend. We know that he was this Roman official, so one hypothesis, I actually heard this from a lawyer that I know in Virginia Beach. This was his theory. He actually has the idea that Luke, as a medical physician, could have been writing something like a legal briefing about the life of Jesus Christ and the impact that Jesus was having in the church, and was giving legal testimony at the trial of the Apostle Paul. Because really, we also know, according to the book of Acts, that Luke becomes a companion, a partner in ministry, a co-laborer with the Apostle Paul. So he goes back and he researches the life of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he interviews eyewitnesses, and there he has the Gospel of Luke. And it's written with such a heart for people. What you find in the Gospel of Luke is a tremendous writer. You have a tremendous record of the history of the early church in the book of Acts. So it's undeniable that Luke's message continues here, and he was such an incredible writer. He writes for us in the Gospel of Luke, for instance, about the prodigal son. One of the greatest short stories of all time. That's what Charles Dickens called it. You have there the parable of the Good Samaritan. But what you also see in the writing of Luke and in his message is you see the heartbeat. You see the heartbeat of Christ and of God in his care and his love for people. It's interesting that in the Gospel of Luke alone, you actually find in the midst of the crucifixion, the only record we have of Jesus having a conversation with those two thieves that were on each side of him on the cross. Even there, you see the heart of Jesus Christ in the midst of his crucifixion, ministering with grace and mercy to convicted thieves. You also have the famous episode in Luke 19 of Jesus calling down the tax collector Zacchaeus from the tree and speaking to him and talking with him. And Zacchaeus, you know, expresses his regret over his former way of life. And Jesus says these words to him, "Listen, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." That's the message that Luke continues from the Gospel of Luke into the book of Acts. But also what you see is not only does Luke's message continue, Jesus' ministry continues. The disciples asked Jesus here in Acts chapter 1, look at verse 6 with me. When they had come together, they asked, "Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?" Look at Jesus' response in verse 7. He said to them, "It's not for you to know the times or the seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority, but you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth." Jesus essentially looks at them and he says, "Listen, it's none of your business when I'm coming back. You want to know what your business is? Your business is to continue my ministry on the face of this earth." You realize as a church of the Lord Jesus Christ, we are plan A, we're plan B, we're plan C, we're plan Z. God has called us, and you see that demonstrated in the book of Acts. He's called us to continue his ministry that you see taking place, that you've been learning about as we've been studying through the Gospel of Luke, as Pastor Derek's been teaching us how God's mission has a prayer. We formed prayer points as a church family that we're praying through. As Pastor Derek frequently reminds us and he prays and you hear the heartbeat of God in this prayer that God will use us to send more missionaries and to plant more churches. You see it in the vision statement that God has given our leadership here as a church family, that as we walk together with Christ and serve together, that we'll reach our neighbors and the nations. That's what it means to continue the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that's what you see here in the book of Acts. Jesus says, "Listen, oh, you're wondering if there's going to be some kind of political solution." We look at the world today and we maybe wonder the same thing. You're going to hear more and more conversation and talk about who's running for office. I mean, it's as if we live now in a day and age when that talk never stops. You know what I'm talking about? But you want to know Jesus' ministry continues. And that's what you see in the book of Acts. And that's what Jesus reminds him. He says, "You want to know what your business is? Your business is you're going to receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you're going to be my witnesses in Jerusalem, all Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." And so then that brings us really to this main idea for this text. And it's really the main idea for the whole book of Acts. Here it is. God's mission continues. God's mission continues. So I want to answer the question, why? Why does God's mission continue? Here's some thoughts for you today. Here's some reasons I think that the Lord gives us here through his word. Here's number one. God's mission continues because Jesus is risen. That's what Luke goes back to here as he's writing this testimonial in Acts chapter 1. He reminds Theophilus that in the first book, he says, "I've dealt with all that Jesus began to do and teach. I made a list of many of the things here on some notes of all that Jesus did and all that Jesus taught." And it's amazing when you go back and you look at all of what Jesus began to do and all of what he taught, you see this combination of Jesus teaching and sharing God's word But you also see Jesus match up proclaiming God's word with serving the needs of people. I think about what you all are doing this weekend with Live Love and the power of the Holy Spirit. The idea that we're just not doing good deeds, so people just kind of think, well, you're pretty good people. We hope you come back to Amelia. We'd love to get you over here in Powhatan, or what about this part of Richmond or Chesterfield? No, listen, we do those good deeds. We show them the love of Christ through our deeds, just as Jesus did as he healed lepers and as he touched people in great need. But we also proclaim the repentance of sins and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, just as Jesus taught us to proclaim. It goes hand in hand. You know, some things really, really don't seem like they're good combinations to me. Like, you ever been to a Taco Bell and a KFC put together? You ever seen those? I don't know who came up with that idea, but it's risky business. I mean, I sit there and I drive by sometimes, I think, I don't think I'm going to go there. That just seems like a bad combination. But on a couple occasions, I have, for whatever reason. And you know what? You know what happens? As soon as I walk in, I don't know what comes over me. Then I'm tempted. I think I'm going to do the Nachos Bel Grande with some original recipe. I think that's what I'm going to do. Man, you might live to regret that, all right? I'm just telling you, some things shouldn't be put together. But let me tell you what ought to always be put together. We ought to put together showing the love of Christ with the words of Christ. That's how God's mission is continuing here. But why is it? Because why keep teaching about Christ? Well, he goes on, he says, here's what happens, Theophilus. I've dealt with all that Jesus began to do and teach, verse 2, until the day he was taken up, after he'd given commands through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he'd chosen. And this is what he did, Theophilus. He presented himself alive to them, underline this, after his sufferings. And here's what the Bible says, by many proofs. That word proofs, it's the technical term from logic, meaning demonstrative evidence or proof. Luke gave examples. You saw this last week here at church, Luke 24, of how the risen Jesus made an appearance and had a conversation and even sat down and had supper on that road to Emmaus. How he appeared to Peter and to the disciples. And the appearance of the risen Jesus is so essential to the apostles because their primary role, if you read the book of Acts, will be to give witness to the resurrected and living Lord Jesus Christ, plain and simple. You want to know how you can have hope for your marriage, that God can work in your marriage? You want to know how you can have hope that God can work in your prodigal child? You want to know how God can give you perseverance for whatever you face, how God can give you hope in the face of despair? It all comes back to this pivotal event when the Lord Jesus Christ, according to Luke, suffered many things, but then gave us convincing proof that he had victory once and for all over that for which he suffered. Jesus Christ is risen. That changed everything. You go back and you read the book of Acts and you will see repeatedly that is what they give testimony to. Acts 4:33, and with great power, the apostles were giving their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. So here's the challenge for us. Last Sunday is Easter Sunday, is Resurrection Sunday, but the key for us is this, is for us to never, ever get over Resurrection Sunday. To realize that even what you're doing right now is a demonstration of how God's mission continues because Jesus is risen. The whole reason you're actually meeting together as a church like this corporately on a Sunday morning is because something happened. Because you got to remember, and by the way, be praying for our Jewish neighbors. This most recent synagogue shooting yesterday, just 6 months ago, the shooting in Southwest Pennsylvania. You know, there are a lot of folks, particularly in the Richmond area, a sizable Jewish population. And there are many folks today that are of Jewish background that are Messianic Jews. They're followers of Christ, but then there are many who are not. And many who I've met, talked with, and I've been reminded by others who've come to faith in Christ, they need the hope of Christ. Something happened because a whole lot of these folks, they were Jewish folks. And they were used to having their religious service on the Sabbath, on Saturday. Something changed. Something got their attention. Something that they could not dismiss. Something caused them to change a habit they had had for generations. And they started showing up together on the first day of the week. And that was the resurrection of Christ. Think about that, church. This morning, what you are doing, you are living out a demonstration of how God's mission continues because Jesus is risen. Amen? Never get over the fact that Jesus is risen. Say that with me aloud. Jesus is risen. Say it again. Jesus is risen. Don't wait till next spring to say that. God's mission continues. Charles Spurgeon said this: the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead is one of the best attested facts on record. There were so many witnesses to behold it that if we do not in the least degree receive the credibility of men's testimonies, we cannot and we dare not doubt that Jesus rose from the dead. He's saying, listen, if you're going to believe the testimony that men give about anything, you ought to believe the testimony that Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. But we struggle. Folks struggle with that. Wolfhart Pannenberg said this: the evidence for Jesus' resurrection is so strong that nobody would question it except for two things. First, it's a very unusual event. That's true. That's true. We need to own that. But here's second. If you believe it happened, you have to change the way you live. But that brings us to an issue. Some of the most frustrated folks I believe you'll ever see are not non-Christians. They're not lost people. So the most frustrated folks you'll ever meet are Christians trying to live the Christian life in their own power, their own strength, by their own wits and their own ability. Sometimes you see it in a whole church. You'll see a church just trying to lean on its own strengths and its own abilities and its own will. And it's really sad. It's one of the things I'm so thankful for about the Parkway family. Why I'm so thankful that my family continues to get to be a part of this church family. Why this church was such a blessing to me personally as pastor for 10 years. Why I just continue to give thanks for this church as you're being led forward by Pastor Derek and the team that God has brought around him. It's because this church, I know there are moments, I'm sure there are moments when we're kind of tempted and we may lean on our own wits and our own strength a little bit. That I know that happens, but I'm telling you, as a way of life, I rejoice because I've seen it time and time again here, how you will go to the power. How you seek to surrender yourselves to the power of the Holy Spirit and not make it about yourselves. Because what you see take place is when the resurrection hits us as reality, that makes this second implication extremely noteworthy. Because here it is. God's mission continues because Jesus is risen. But notice this. Jesus then tells them this: you're going to receive the Holy Spirit. God's mission, here it is, number two, continues in the power of the Holy Spirit, not in my own power, not in my own strength. Luke, referred to this as the promise of the Father. John wrote about Jesus speaking about the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now, it's interesting for you just to go back and look at verse 8 here. I mean, look at what Jesus says to them. He says, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my... Now, just catch this now. You may have read this verse before, but just think about the magnitude. You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, all Judea, and Samaria. Now, that'd be a lot right there, okay? And to the end of the earth. Now, there are folks in this room, you've flown to the other side of the world. Last night, it took me 2 hours from Fort Lauderdale to Richmond. That's amazing. People in the first century, they would not know what to think of that. That you, within 2 hours, you could travel almost 800 miles. That's ridiculous, you know. I want you to think about what God did through the early church within essentially a generation or two. Hyman Alterman's book, Counting People, he estimated that there were 250 million people on earth at the beginning of the Christian era. Let's assume Acts was written around AD 60. In AD 48, Roman Emperor Claudius ordered a general census of the Roman Empire. In that census, here's how many males 17 to 60 years old were counted in the empire. Almost 6 million. Specifically, 5,984,200. And what we find in Acts 19, verse 10, if you were to fast forward through this, is you would find the testimony that they had reached the known world with the gospel of Christ. How does that happen? Let me tell you how it happens. It happens in the power of the Holy Spirit. The Gospel of John, chapter 14, Jesus said, I will ask the Father, and he'll give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. Talking about flying or airports. This happened to me one time. I was walking through a concourse of an airport, right? And I'm walking along, right? And I noticed this guy. I'm thinking, what's up with this? Are you pacing me or what? And it's like, and he keeps walking, right? And I'm walking, and I'm having to pick it up, you know? I mean, he's walking. He's like, he's not even changing his stride. But it's like he keeps getting further and further out in front of me. And I'm like, I'm beginning to have to use my inhaler or something like that. I'm just wheezing. And all of a sudden, I look, and it dawns on me why he is outpacing me so fast. You know why, right? Because you've probably seen him in an airport. It's because he's on one of them motorized walkways. That's what he's on. He's not even, you know, I'm walking in all my strength, all my power, as hard as I can. And he's sitting there, and he's just normal stride. But man, he's making tracks. The point simply is this. We're not called to be witnesses. We're not called to live the Christian life in our own power. Paul said this in Romans 8, 9, 11. You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If, in fact, the Spirit of God dwells in you. Live love, power of the Holy Spirit, right? That's what it's about. Whatever your age, whatever your situation, Paul goes on, he says, anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him, but if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life. The Spirit is life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead, listen to this, church, will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. That's why the book of Acts is the Acts of the Holy Spirit. I like that title the best. Or I could even go with this. I don't really care for the title. It's in a lot of the Bibles, and that's all right. I get where they're coming from, where they just simply say, this is the Acts of the Apostles. If you're going to go with that, here's how I'd amend it. The book of Acts, it is the Acts of the Apostles empowered by the Holy Spirit of God. That's what you see in the book of Acts. So never forget that. God's mission continues. Why? Because Jesus is risen. It continues as we are empowered by the Holy Spirit. We have received the Holy Spirit. And then thirdly, here it is. So what does that mean? It means we're called to be his witnesses. It's as simple as that. Now, I say it's as simple as that, but it's not always that simple. The Bible here says, look at verse 8, but you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you'll be my, what? Witnesses. It becomes a key word in the book of Acts. It's used 29 times by one count as either a verb or a noun. Now, what is a witness? A witness is someone who tells what he or she has seen or heard. That's it. In Acts 4, 19 and 20, that's what Peter and John say. They say, listen, we're just being witnesses to what we've seen and what we've heard, what we've experienced. Now, I know that can be a challenge to be a witness. That's one of the things that I like about the Bless Every Home strategy. that we introduced across the state last fall. We have in the neighborhood of about 100,000 homes involved in this, quote, adoption right now. And you're going to get more information this afternoon. This email is going to come from Parkway where you can register. And it's using technology to try to help us in sometimes what have become kind of complicated, busy times for us. And you'll receive an alert, and it's going to prompt you. And the first step is just to encourage you to consider how you can show care towards a neighbor. And when you kind of check that off, then you begin to, or you start with pray, then you care, and then you share. And then ultimately the idea is you don't just leave them there. You would then invite them and involve them in what God's doing through the church. Just to give you a system, a strategy. But it really all comes back to this. It comes back to being a witness. Now, something we need to keep in mind, and I think keep in our prayers, hear me on this. Hardship and suffering at times is part of being a witness. Last Sunday, most of us probably didn't even realize this was going on. Other side of the world in Sri Lanka, 300 worshipers of the Lord Jesus Christ on Resurrection Sunday, murdered. That caused me this week, prompted me to do a little bit of research. World Watch List reports 245 million Christians are persecuted annually. That's one in nine. Over 4,000 Christians are killed on average annually every year because of their faith. Over 1,200 buildings are attacked. So, one reminder to us would be this, for us to be praying for one another, for us to be praying for those that are in really hard places. So put that down. But then secondly, I want to put this right where you and I live. You may not face, even though we've had it happen here in the United States, we may not face an example quite that extreme, but understand this, you and I may still face some form of hardship. It might be loneliness. It might be being left out on a Friday evening or Friday night from activities that other folks at your school are into. It might be not going to a dance. It might be enduring some snarky comments at work from a coworker about your faith in Christ. It might be something from a neighbor. It might be something much closer to home. It might could come from right across the kitchen table at you. So that's why I want you to see how Luke lays this out. We have to remember God's mission continues. Why? Because Jesus is risen. We can't ever forget that. Number two, not in our own power, but in the power of the Holy Spirit. That's why we're his witnesses. But then something happens here. It actually kind of turns out to be one of my favorite little parts of this little section of Scripture. Look at verse 9. And when he had said these things, as they were looking on, he was lifted up. Jesus begins to ascend, and a cloud took him out of their sight. By the way, you can go to passages in like the Old Testament if you want to. Sometimes I think it's like Daniel 7, Psalm 24. Some of these give this allusion to what we read here that Luke is writing. And when he'd said these things, as they were looking on, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. And while they were gazing into heaven as he went, and can you blame them? I mean, Jesus is ascending, right? So what would you be doing? Would you be planning what you're going to have for lunch? Probably not. What would you be doing? Look at me. What would you be? You'd probably be doing like that. I think I would. That's what they're doing. But look at what they're told by these angelic messengers. Two men stood by them in white robes, verse 11, and said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven." Here's the concluding implication. God's mission continues, so don't just stand around. That's what you guys weren't just standing around yesterday. You were out living love. The idea of blessing every home is we just don't stand around. We're going to pray. We're going to care. We're going to share. We're going to disciple. We're going to send more missionaries. We're going to plant more churches. That's what we've been praying about. That's why God's mission, never forget, God's mission has a prayer, but understand this, what you'll see, if you kept reading Luke's writings, it's his message continues because the ministry continues, and it's because our mission continues. Understand this, never ever forget this. Listen, we're not just to stand around. And all this talk is going on amongst some of your friends at school, or you're going to see it in the media buzz about all this money that this movie's taking in and how this is the culmination of like 10 years worth of storytelling in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Some of you I know are like, what are we talking about? Is he talking about Star Wars? Or what is he talking about? But the Avenger fans in the room, I know you're sitting there going, now, and some of you already know. You've already seen it 3 or 4 times. I don't know how you pulled that off, but you did. And you're saying, okay, that's how this Infinity War, this is how it's going to end. Let me just remind you. Let me just kind of do a play on that so hopefully you remember. Understand this. There is an Infinity War going on, something that matters for all of infinity. It's because, listen, people's souls end up in one place or another for all of infinity. And what these guys are reminded of right here is there is an end game. And you all sang about it, and you came and you talked about it, and you worshiped under that banner last weekend. Because understand this, Jesus Christ, he did come, he did live, he did die, he did rise from the dead, and he is coming again. So the message to us is that God's mission continues, so don't just stand around. We have a mission that God has called us to be about, and that's why what you would see happen in the book of Acts is in Acts 17, this is what they say about these Christians. They'll say, they have turned our world upside down. Turned the world upside down. But you know, when the world is already upside down and it gets turned around, it's not upside down anymore. It's right side up. And that's what Jesus does. So loved ones, this is where we come to right now. I want to ask you to prayerfully consider as a church family your commitment to how God's mission continues in and through us. That's what you've been talking about. As you've been studying the Gospel of Luke, you've been seeing the heartbeat of Christ. You've been seeing the love of God for humanity and how that Father responded to that lost son. You've been seeing how God has called us to minister and respond in parables like the Good Samaritan. You've seen Jesus. You've seen the power of Jesus and how Jesus in the Gospel of Luke responds to when he was tempted. He responded with the Word of God. And that's what's taught at this church, the Word of God. And all of that gospel story culminates with the death, burial, and resurrection and the ascension of Christ and the promise that he is coming again. So those angels looked at those disciples whose mouths were open wide saying, don't stand around because the mission continues. So here's your prayer point as a church family. Here's your prayer point. It can be as simple as this. Just ask God to cause our hearts to be made tender and sensitive, starting right with those around us. That's my prayer today. That God will work in my life through the power of his Holy Spirit to cause me to take note of that person and that person. Folks you're going to see cutting their grass this afternoon. Folks you see at the bus stop. Folks you see pulling out of their driveway. That's a place for us to start as a church family. But you may be here today, and you're not really sure that you have a relationship with Jesus Christ. That's why as we sing this closing song, we're going to give you an opportunity to do this. We're going to have some of our leadership down front, some of our pastoral team, some of our support team, and you don't have to wait another minute. You have to take a test. We're not going to ask you to stand on top of your head or anything like that. We're just going to invite you to this. You just come forward. And all you need to say is something like this. You just need to give us a clue that you need to know more about Jesus Christ. Okay, we're not mind readers. You just come forward today and you say, I need Jesus. If you're not sure you have a personal relationship with the risen and living Lord Jesus Christ, don't walk out those doors. You come today and let us introduce you to Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. I hope and pray you'll do that. And church family, make this your moment. Make this your moment. Because in just a minute or two, we won't just keep standing around. It's going to be time for us to leave this place because God's mission continues. Stand with me and let's bow our heads in prayer. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Father, I just want to pray right now, Lord, for these loved ones in Christ. Lord, thank you for them listening to your word talk today. God, I just pray right now, God, that you will take the next few moments and just remind us, challenge us, and encourage us, Lord, that your mission continues. For any in this room who've yet to come to you, Lord Jesus, I pray they'd come now as we sing this song. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Won't you come as we sing?